Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not. It is written, and it came to pass as he drew nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing a multitude going by, he inquired what this meant. It is written, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Open mine eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. Open mine ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, my ears, illumine me. Spirit divine. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about two blind men sitting by the wayside begging. One of them was named Bartimaeus, and hearing a great multitude passing by, asked what it meant. And they were told, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now, there are three types of blindness. First, there is physical blindness, such as Bartimaeus. And then there is mental blindness. We call it idiocy. There's also a third type of blindness, which is the worst of all, and that is spiritual blindness. People who are spiritually blind are unable to see biblical, scriptural truth because they are blinded by prejudice. They look at it and just don't see it. As far as these folk are concerned, the Bible does not mean what it says. It means what you feel it says. The Bible means what you think it says. It means what your denomination says it says. The truth of God's word is determined by your interpretation. The Bible can always be adjusted to any denominational mindset. The real reason for spiritual blindness is in the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he said, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They become like blind men, walking alongside a cliff, feeling perfectly safe, even though they may drop off any minute into everlasting darkness." Jesus said, "Having eyes that see not, and ears that hear not, neither do they understand." The God of this world has such great persuasion with people, so much persuasion that he can even convince many who study the Word of God in theological schools, and they have become just as spiritually blind as the proverbial bat or the mole that prefers to live underground in darkness. We also note that the faith of these two who were physically blind was based on what they heard and not what they saw. What a condemnation on those who can see physically, read the Word of God, and not see anything. Jesus of Nazareth is still passing by today, and the uproar of the crowd is still heard. Pandemonium reigns supreme as the devil strives to drown out the cries for mercy on the Lord's day. But I fervently hope that perhaps, through the din of the noise on Sundays and the roar of the multitude, to hold thy peace, our voice can still be heard as we continue to cry out, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Bartimaeus would not be stopped. He cried out again. A different Greek word is used. This time it was a shriek, an inarticulate scream several times. "Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me!" Mark says they cried out the more a great deal. It was difficult to make out the words, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me!" That cry for mercy is an appropriate prayer for any of us to pray at any time. "Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me." That did it. He got the Lord's attention. Remember, there were two of them who cried out, and that is a surefire way to get the Lord's attention, because Jesus said in Matthew 18, "If two of you agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven." We might think sometimes the noise level in this world is so great it would drown out the prayers of those who cry out for mercy. But if it had to be done, the Lord would mute the trumpet of Gabriel and hush every angelic choir just to hear those who cry for mercy when Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Then Jesus, it says, stood still. Bartimaeus, by screaming, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," causes the Son of God to stand still. Think of it. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die on the cross. yet by the shriek of this man, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good cheer, rise, he calleth thee. There is something impressive about that statement when we read that Jesus stood still after the resurrection in John 20. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then concerning Paul in Acts 23, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer. As thou hast borne witness of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also bear witness at Rome. Then again, when Paul was left alone in prison and all friends had forsaken him, he said in 2 Timothy 4, The Lord stood by me and strengthened me that through me the gospel might be fully proclaimed. These are examples of Jesus standing with his own in the hope of the resurrection from the dead, standing with them in the faithful preaching of the word. And when all friends desert them, the Lord still stood by them. So the procession stopped, and Jesus of Nazareth stood still as he was passing by. The King of the universe extended the scepter to the blind men, and they were invited to draw near and touch the tip and make the request. What wouldest thou that I do unto thee? This was the second time in just a very short while that Jesus asked that question. Just before this, he had asked James and John, What wouldest thou that I do unto thee? James and John said, Let us sit one on your right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Nothing doing. Now the Lord knew why the blind man asked for mercy, but he wanted to hear them say it. The Lord does not leave himself open to grant things to people who have no business having them in the first place. They could have said, Lord, give us silver and gold. That's what they usually begged for, to receive. And that's what most spiritually blind people today would ask for. But Bartimaeus and his friends said, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus, being moved with compassion, touched their eyes, and straightway they received their sight. Actually, opening the eyes of the blind was the program of Jesus when he came into the world in the first place. He declared in John the 8th chapter, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then in Acts 26, Jesus himself instructed the apostle Paul, when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus, To this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness, both of the things whereof thou hast seen me, and the things whereof I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I will send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness unto light, and from the power of darkness unto God, that they might receive remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. What a thrill it must have been. The first thing the two blind men saw was the face of Jesus. They had the advantage over us. While we today have heard about Jesus and read about Jesus, we have never seen him face to face. However, that day will come, because John tells us in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. What a thrill that will be, and not only that, we shall be made like him. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and Bartimaeus saw his need of Jesus. But he also saw something else. He saw that this was his one and only chance. There were many blind that were cured by the Lord Jesus Christ in his sojourn on earth, but only 7 cases are mentioned, and this would be the last one to receive that blessing. This was his only chance, because Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. As far as we can tell, the Lord had never been in Jericho before this trip. And now that he's here, he will never come back again. In another week, he would be on the cross. This was the only chance Bartimaeus would have. If he missed this chance while Jesus was passing by, he would remain in darkness for the rest of his earthly life. Paul speaks of spiritual darkness in Colossians when he says, "Giving thanks unto the Father which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We remind all who are yet in the kingdom of darkness, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Now notice again the great spiritual wisdom of Bartimaeus. He saw he could not afford to let anything stand in his way. When Jesus called him, Mark says, "And he, casting away his garment, sprang up and came to Jesus." Bartimaeus let go of a very valuable property so that nothing could impede his progress in coming to Jesus. His cloak was his bed, his covering from the cold. He could ill afford to lose it in this crowd. But Paul in Hebrews 12 gives us the same advice. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." There wasn't anything immoral about the garment Bartimaeus was wearing, but since it hindered his progress, it had to go. Paul said there are 2 things that hinder our progress: weights and sin. The weight may not be a sin, but if it impedes our spiritual progress, it becomes sin. Ladies and gentlemen, you never see a runner in the Olympic Games wearing an overcoat and carrying 2 pieces of luggage. There is one thing you can be sure about. If we follow Jesus in the way, there is something you will have to give up. A lot of people in the race of life are simply carrying too much baggage. Most people just don't have time to read the Word of God for any significant amount of time, or to pray to the point where it is a major activity of the day, because they're too busy looking at the late-night TV or whatever. To be effective in the race of life, something has to go. Like Bartimaeus, spring up and cast off the garment spotted by the flesh. Too much baggage impedes the progress in coming to Jesus. These are golden moments that can never be reclaimed. Our philosophy needs to be, "Nothing is going to stop me when Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Now here is the conclusion. "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Listen to that. Jesus told him to go his way, and he followed Jesus in his way. What a joy it was to follow Jesus in the way. Some wonderful things happened as he followed Jesus in the way. For one thing, Luke tells us that he received his sight and followed glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Following Jesus in the way is the way of giving praise unto God. How sweet it is to attend the services and give praise unto God on the day that is called Sunday. But that is not all. If he followed Jesus to Bethany, he saw him raise up the rotting corpse and bring Lazarus back to life. Isn't it wonderful to know that we follow a Savior who can raise the dead? We love to sing. We will sing and shout the victory. Then, too, just think. If he followed Jesus to Jerusalem, the following Sunday he participated in the triumphant entry. He followed Jesus in the way. Then later on that week, as he followed Jesus, something went all haywire. The singing stopped. People started shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And all of a sudden, it was no fun to follow Jesus anymore. I don't know what happened to Bartimaeus, but almost everybody else left him. There were only three left at the cross when Jesus was crucified. The mystery of what happened is cleared up when we remember something Jesus said about following him. He said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Well-meaning folk who attempt to follow Jesus today will come to the same conclusion. It isn't easy. This thing of following Jesus is not easy. It is the way of the cross. It is a life of denial. It is not all singing sentimental songs with a good beat. Not all listening to gospel quartets. Not all hearing sermons that inspire us and make us feel good. It's not all in going to concerts and family camps. Not all in going on weekend retreats. For the preacher, it means that you will faithfully preach the word whether it is popular or not. So follow him in the way. Many today may be members of a church and never followed Jesus anywhere. They render not according to the blessing they have received. In the Old Testament, King Hezekiah was sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah told him he had 1 year to live. Isaiah left, and Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed a hole in the wall. His prayer took a right-hand vertical turn and went straight up to God. And the Lord extended his life 15 years. At the end of the 15 years is the sad comment. Hezekiah rendered not according to the benefits he had received. The same can be said in too many cases today. We accept the blessings of salvation God has given us and render very little in return. The average contributions across the board of religious groups is said to be about 2%. Sometimes that 2% is given with the excuse, "I'm giving all I can." It is good that God did not feel that way when he sent Jesus into the world. He really did give all he could. The cry of Bartimaeus and his companion needs to be heard today by many church members. "Have mercy on me, thou Son of God." 20 centuries have gone by since Jesus passed by on that highway that led to the cross. But there are still people who are morally and spiritually blind today on the highway of life. Jesus is still passing by today. And all through the centuries, he has never failed to hear the cry, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible still says, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It still says, "They went down into the water, and he baptized him, and they came up out of the water." It still says to every believer who repents, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It still says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus of Nazareth is still passing by. Again, he comes from place to place. His holy footprints we can trace. He passes at our threshold, nay, he enters in to stay. Shall we not gladly raise the cry? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Ho, all ye heavy laden come. Here's pardon, comfort, rest, and home. Ye wanderers from the Father's face, return, accept the offered grace. Ye tempted ones, there's refuge nigh. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Pass the ammunition. And don't forget to tell somebody somehow in some way that God is just a prayer away. Oh, God.